Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
How many saw the video last night that we posted of the invitation? Amen. I just kind of get an idea. Saw the video on Facebook. Thank you. I mean, shared it. Thank you. Amen. If you would, if you didn't see it, maybe you don't follow us. How about following us on Facebook? We appreciate that. And then also, you could share this video now. Send today's thing and share it. And help, Case, I'm standing right there where you're at. Make sure to get it where I want it, son. And share it now and tell everybody. Let's go to the next level. Amen. Well, they set that up. I want to share a scripture with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know, we know that there's a veil that is over this world. I mean, we see their blinders that are on people's eyes. But when they turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. More and more like Him. Say more and more. You know, I do love the New King James Version of this last verse there, verse 18, because it says, "With an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." From glory to glory. Say glory to glory. More and more glory to glory. Right? More and more glory to glory. Because this shows progression. More and more glory to glory. Does it not show progression? It's a path. You know, it's a path that we take for more. It's a journey. You know, we're continuing on this journey of more and more. This glory to glory. Some people feel like it's a destination, you know? It's not a destination. We don't get our heart to the Lord, get saved, get water baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and sit down and say, "Done. We've reached it." You know, that's not just more and more. There's more and more and more after that. But we sometimes get settled down and settled in to where we're at, and we get comfortable, and we don't realize that there's more. You know, but we like to think of that when we want to talk negatively of people that are very wealthy. We say, well, you know, the rich, they just want to keep getting richer, right? Because they want more and more. Well, I want to get more and more of the things of the Lord, right? I want to experience God more and more. Have you ever had an amazing experience with the Lord that you just felt like, I mean, it was just overwhelming? Anybody ever had one of those? You know? Did you say, "Thank you, God, let's not do that again"? Anybody? Anybody? We'll pray for you afterwards and come up. You know? You know, when you had this amazing experience, you're like, "Wow, that was amazing, Lord. More. Give me more. Do that again," right? I mean, I want more of the Lord. So my question for you today is, are you ready to go to the next level? Are you ready for more? Are you ready for another level of glory? You know? So then it becomes, if you are, if you're bold enough, if you're not a chicken, I'm going to challenge you today one way or another. If you're not scared of it, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? Because see, some people already looked at this today and said, "I ain't going up that ladder." How many? How many raised their hands and said, "I ain't getting up that ladder"? Yeah, uh-huh. One, two, yeah, I know you more out there. See, sometimes we do the same thing with God, though. We see the Spirit of God happening and moving and flowing, and we go, I ain't going up there. I don't know what'll happen. That ain't getting a hold of me. I'm not going to run around that church. You know? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to act a fool. You know? We're too good for that, right? Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 25. I want to read this to you today. Acts chapter 8, 4 through 25. It says, "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city. And a man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now, the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. And then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed." And I'm going to pause right there because I want to point out a couple things that I want you to see. Philip, back in chapter 6 and 8, back in Acts chapter 6, he was commissioned. He was prayed for by the apostles and sent out. This is Philip, the evangelist, that was sent out to begin to share the good news, the message of Jesus. And as he went, people were filled with the Holy Spirit, or people began to see miracles and signs and wonders with Philip's ministry. And then someone, Simon, who had a talent, he began to work his magic, and people began to see things, and they thought he was great. But he wasn't gifted like Philip was. And so even Simon, seeing what Philip had, said, "I want that. I want that." And it says he believed and was baptized. So Simon, realizing there was something more than what he was operating in, he wanted that. "I want more. Amen? I want more." That was Simon. He said, "You know, that what I've been doing in the world and what I've been using my talent for is not enough. I want more." So then we continue, because it says in verse 14, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there." Hello. They sent the big guys, right? These are the apostles. They sent Peter and John there. And it says, "As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. 'Let me have this power too,' he exclaimed, 'so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit.' And Peter replied, 'May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin.'" This was an interesting passage because I wanted to point out a couple things. First of all, it said Simon was a believer. Simon believed and was baptized, but here Peter is. We know it's Peter because he's bold. He tells him, "You are still held captive by sin." See, sometimes people want more of God, but they want the shortcut to get it. That's where someone wants to begin to, I believe God's called me. So do I. That's amazing. So I'm going to start a church. No, that's bad. But that's what their thing is. Well, if I'm called by God, this is what I got to do. I'm called by God, so I'm going to start prophesying to everyone. No. It's not what you should do. But Simon, who wanted more, he had a good intention, right? He even said, when I lay my hands on people, I want to see them filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't want them to be filled with anything with him. He said, I still want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But he thought that the gift of God could be bought. I want more of God, but I want a shortcut to get there. I want more, but, you know, I'm not going to do all the hard things that it takes to get more. Anybody ever tried to do a shortcut in life? You can't put in shortcuts. I mean, because it takes hard work. We can't have shortcuts. You know, when you look at athletics, sports, if you played high school ball, you know, there's a certain level of practice that comes with that. You know, there's a couple morning practices, some afternoon practices, you know, but there's some practice that goes into it. But when you go to college ball, when you go to the next level, when you want to be more, well, a whole new level of comes with practice, right? A whole new level of weightlifting comes. A whole new determination comes. A whole new discipline comes. Because you have decided to go to the next level. And if you're good enough, if your talent and your gift match up and you're good enough, and you go to the next level, a professional level, well, that's all you do. You work at honing your gift and ability and talent. There's more practice that goes in. There's more work that goes in, right? Because if you want more, you don't just get to the top. Do these professionals get to the top and just say, I'm done, I made it? No, they got to keep working. They got to keep working. Because there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. But sometimes we see the things of God and we see God moving in a powerful way and we decide we want a shortcut to it. You know, one time I was helping an individual. They had a tree company, a tree business, and we had this job to clear off this cliffside of trees and small trees and debris because this guy had a big old mansion and wanted to look at the Ohio River. And so we were going to clear out this cliffside for him, and we had to rappel down this cliffside to clear it off and on a rope with a chainsaw. It's a little, I don't know. But anyway, for lunch one day, we decided we were going to go hiking. We were hiking down to the river. So we find this trail, and we hike down to the river, and it's a nice little hiking path, and we're walking, and we get along, and all of a sudden we see a path start heading back up. So we start heading back up the path, and we can kind of see the other path below us, and we're heading back up the cliffside. And then all of a sudden, the path ran out. It stopped. So we're frustrated. You know, I thought I was on the right path. I thought I was getting back to where I was supposed to go, but then the path just stopped. And so we had an option. Well, we didn't really have an option, but I made an option. You know, we should have went back where we came from and walked back, but I was like, man, I don't want to go all the way there and walk back. I see the path below me. And so I said, I know a way. I know a way. Many of you guys didn't know me when I was 18 years old. I haven't changed a whole lot, but it wasn't about anything I wouldn't do. And so I said, I know a way. I'm going to jump to that tree about 6-8 foot across, and I'm going to climb down the tree, and I'll be on the path, and I'll walk on back. And they said, you're not going to do that. Well, I backed up, and I took off running, and I jumped, and I grabbed a hold of that tree, and I climbed down it. So my friend gets up there, and he's holding on to a branch, and I'm like, you ain't going to reach it. It's like 6 feet. You're going to have to trust and jump. And we all jumped, and we all made it. But how many know that shortcut could have ended badly? That's one of those things you look back and go, man, that wasn't a good idea. You know, anybody ever done that? Tried to take a shortcut, and then just said, don't know if that was a good idea. You know, I've had a few of those moments in my life. Most of them do somehow coincide with heights. I do something weird, and then I go, that probably wasn't a good idea. You know, that's why we got a big ladder for you today. Man, we try sometimes to take shortcuts. And shortcuts could end badly. Oh, God called you to start a church, or God called you to be a prophet, or God called you to be an evangelist, but you didn't want to put in the work that it took to be trained, so you started too soon and you failed. You wanted a shortcut. You didn't want to take time after that relationship ended and let yourself heal, and you jumped back into another, and you try to take a shortcut. You want God, I think it's the right person, Lord, but we try to take shortcuts in life instead of waiting for what God's plan is. You know, and Simon, he wanted God's plan, right? He said, I want to pray for people and see them filled with the Holy Spirit. But how much is it going to cost? I got some money. That sounds like us. If we can pay for something, we're going to pay for something instead of earn something. You know? We're going to try to do it a certain way instead of saying, you know, I want more of God, but I want it the easy way. I want God to advance me in life, and I want all these things in life, but I don't want to work for it. I don't want to try for it. It's too hard. And I think that that's where we find many people today, even in their walk with the Lord, is they want shortcuts because they don't want to do it the long way, the right way. I want to take you to Ezekiel chapter 47. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance, and there I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gate. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. And then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. I'm going to take you back through some versions of this that I want you to see. First of all, we see that the believer came out, that he brought him out and showed him where the water began to flow. Where the water began to flow. He saw it, and this is where many people are today. This is called the watching level. I'm at a spot where I watch the water flow. That's a spectator of what God is doing. You come to church, you're going to find yourself in one of these positions today. And it's your choice and your challenge of where you go next. But some people are in this position today. You're just watching what God's doing. You're a spectator. You see miracles that happen for other people, but they don't happen for you. You see God do amazing things, but you're watching them. You're a hearer of the word, but not a doer. You hear, but don't receive. I watch. Oh, I mean, come on, I know. Some of you are vacation watchers. I mean, people watchers, right? You go on vacation, that's all you do, sit there like this. You look like a typewriter. You know, all you do is watch people. Just watch them. I mean, where'd they get that outfit from? You know? Watch. But you know what? The church is full of watchers. It's full of watchers. People that just come to watch what's going to happen. Just watch. But you know, you're never going to receive what God has for you as long as you're just watching. God doesn't want you in this level. Because these are the people that still easily go to church, but still, it's not a problem for them to sin. It's easy. Well, I go to church, it makes me feel better about what I'm doing in life. But I have really no conviction when it comes to being an adulterer. I have no conviction when it comes to being a liar. I have no conviction when it comes to robbing God and my tithes and offerings. I have no conviction because, you know what? I go to church and I watch, and then I tell myself, well, you know what? They're probably a hypocrite too. I'm a watcher. Because a watcher comes and says, I just want to find the next person that's just as bad as me. And I'm going to justify myself for who I am because I'm a watcher. I feel good about myself, but I'm just watching. It feels good to come to church, but I'm just watching. I'm not receiving. Sometimes I feel convicted, but you know what? Let me get out of here. I'll be all right. If I can just make it to 12 today, I'll escape and not have to make a commitment to follow the Lord. Others are tied to their religion and refuse to grow spiritually. Watchers. Tied to my religion, but I'm not here to grow. I don't want to grow. Joel chapter 3:14 talks about this, though. It talks about people that are watchers. It says thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. And there, the day of the Lord will soon arrive. Thousands and thousands and millions of people are in the valley of decision. You have a decision to make. Are you just going to keep watching? Or do you want more? Because our next level, it says, he took me 1,750 feet. And as I crossed the water, the water was up to my ankles. Oh, that's our next level of people. This is the ankle deep. I've tested the water. You know, this is I'm going to go up while I talk about going down today. This is our ankle deep people. I've made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm ankle deep. I've gotten the water and I feel pretty good. I'm just getting acclimated here though, okay? That's a lot of people. They give their heart to the Lord. And, well, I don't know that I'm ready to go there or there yet. Let me just get acclimated to the water. We just go ankle deep. This is a believer that's starting to experience faith, but they still struggle with their carnal life. They still struggle with their carnal nature. It's not dead to sin. It's like, well, I'm not as bad as I used to be, so that's pretty good, right? Come on, everybody can say that, right? Say, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Yeah, that's good, but it's not enough because there's more. There's glory to glory. There's more. But sometimes we just get right here. And you know what's easy about this level? What we do? Right here at this level, it's not hard for me to get out. It's not hard for me to run away. I mean, you know what? I could jump down from here. Okay, they're telling me not to do that. But I could get out quickly, right? If I need to run away, I could run because I'm only ankle deep. I'm only ankle deep. But sometimes we just get comfortable here and we just stay here and we're just kicking around in the water, ankle deep. I come to church, you know, once, twice a month. I'm ankle deep. I'm in the water. But you know what? If you think about it this way, think about 90% of your body is still exposed to the attacks of the enemy. 90% of your body is still exposed to the attacks of the enemy because you're only ankle deep. Why is this always happening to me? I don't understand. There's always something bad happening in my life. Well, I can tell you why. I'm the pastor no one likes. Because I'll be like, I ain't going to hold back and be like, well, you know, you just got to, you know, trust God. No, I'm like, hey, you're only ankle deep. You're not in the water. God's not really protecting you. You're just playing around. You're playing church. Here's playing church. Are you here today? Then he led me another 1,750 feet, and the water was up to my knees. The water was up to my knees. This is a deeper commitment, right? I've committed a little bit more. I've went in a little deeper. It's not the highest level of total surrender, but you know what? I'm halfway. I'm doing pretty good. Come on, give me credit. Yeah? Tell me how good I am. Right? this believer, this person right here, you may even be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you've got in a little bit. You've let the Lord just begin to touch your life. And you've been immersed a little more. But you may be prayerful. You may do devotions. But you haven't had that deeper experience with God yet. There's not a deeper experience with the Lord. You see others with that deeper experience and you say, man, I'd love to have that. I wonder if I could just jump over here every once in a while. We want that shortcut, like Simon. You try, oh no, it's too much work. The shortcut didn't work. So, I'm okay here. We tell ourselves that we're okay with just this much. 50% of our body is still exposed to the attacks of the enemy. Because we've only tested the water a little bit. Just got to our knees. Just to our knees. Right? If we get complacent here, because we're just trying to get acclimated to the water, and we never go deeper, we never experience what God has for us. This is what the Lord wants. But many of us are right here. We're testing the waters. We're just tickling our toes on Sunday. Some of us have got about halfway in, and we say, well, that's good enough. You know, when I'm older, when this happens, when that happens, when I have kids, when I get married, when I get a new job, when I get this, I'll go there. I'll go there. I want to go there one day. Right? But you get content here. You get content here. We never go anywhere. Because this is the only level that we're comfortable in. Because we say we want more, but we don't want to do the work that it would take to get there. So, you can also still run here, right? Anybody ever tried to run knee-deep water? It's not that bad. You're half-stepping a little bit. But you can still run away. I think that's what some people try to do. They just want to get to a spot where they feel like they can run from the church anytime they want. I just want to run. Well, I didn't like what that pastor said. I'm running today. I ain't coming back for 3 weeks. See if he'll preach on that again. I'll have that sermon waiting for you. The third level is waist deep. Fourth level, waist deep. Waist deep. It's up to our waistline. The Spirit of the Lord manifests here in this level. Right? It's a good level. It's a good level. It's waist deep. I feel like in this level, you can even get to a point where when the attacks of the enemy come, you may even be able to duck in the water a little bit, right? Oh, you missed me. Oh, enemy tried to attack my mind, but huh, I ducked on that one. You know, I'm waist deep. I'm pretty good. I've seen the power of the Lord move. You know, I even prayed for someone once, and they were healed. It was awesome. You know, I mean, we began to experience the presence of the Lord. But even in this level, I believe that most people that are working in churches today are only at this level. I believe most pastors are only at this level. I believe most worship leaders are at this level. I believe teachers and evangelists and those that call themselves prophets are only at this level. I believe that they're waist deep. But you know, I don't know about that. I don't know if I should say that. I may affect some people in the church. They may not like it. They may leave. Oh, this one, I preach on this one, it may affect the tithes and offerings this week. As the apostle said, you know, I better not do that. Waist deep. It's not a full immersion. It's not I'm immersed in the power of God. It's not I'm immersed in the Spirit of God. But anybody ever walked out in an ocean waist deep? You get out there sometimes and the waves come, and every once in a while you get that good splash that comes over your head when you're waist deep. That's good enough for some of these preachers. I get here and every once in a while the Holy Spirit just hits a wave. Woo, feels good. Some of them see the wave coming and take off running. Oh, Holy Spirit almost got here today. In that song. Let's stop that song, you know. I'm just, woo, want to get away from that, right? We start to try to figure out where we want to be. I truly believe that most of the church is in these three levels. Most of the church is in these three levels. Some are still down there in that fourth one. They were just watching. We're watching. Where are you? Where are you at? What level? Are you? Do you want more? You know, we sit there, more of your glory. More. No, we don't want that. Because it takes effort. It takes work to get here. This isn't something that it just comes all the time. You've got to be in constant prayer. You've got to be in constant, you got to be in the Word constantly, right? You got to be spending time with the Lord when you're here. This isn't coming in and out of the water. If you've ever been to an ocean, every time you come in and out, you have to readjust the whole time, don't you? Whew, it gets cold. You know, you come in a waist deep, especially when you get that waist deep. Whew, gets cold. And so some people worry about how far they're going to go, how deep they're going to go. They come right out. It takes a while to get back to this spot again. It doesn't work when you don't spend time with the Lord every day. You can't walk in here on Sunday morning and get to this level from 10 to 12. It doesn't work. If you're not spending time with the Lord, when you walk in, and that's why we slowly begin to adjust until we get to the presence of God. And as soon as you get here and your temperature gets adjusted and you're experiencing the presence of God, it's time to go. And you walk right back out and don't come back into that presence until next week. Because this isn't the level you're comfortable at. This isn't the level you want to stay in. But church, we have to be in a spot that we say we want more of the Lord. We want more of His glory. This is a spot that when we're here, when we're in this spot, we're often seeing people that have reached the peak. We're seeing people that have reached that spot. And I don't believe that there's many people in that spot. I believe those people were your A.A. Allen, your Smith Wigglesworth. Those were people that Jerry B. Walker and R.W. Shambach. These were people that are at that level. But yet, too many people at this level, too many pastors and too many worship leaders and too many people at this level want to be there, but don't want to do what it takes to get there. Well, I don't want to climb that ladder. We don't want to do what it takes to get there. It's too hard. It's too much, as I preached last week, sacrifice. It's too much sacrifice to get there. Well, you don't know how busy I am. You don't know. I'm trying to get a few things in my life worked out. And once I do, you know, I'll have that extra time. I can get there. But really what happens, we get comfortable right here. And we stay. This is good enough. Every once in a while, we get the power of the Lord to come over us. But sometimes, when you're at this level, the bottom can still fall out. How many's ever seen pastors that have fallen to sin? Worship leaders that have fallen to sin? They were waist deep, right? The power of God was operating in their ministries. They were waist deep. I remember one time, Dottie, I was with Brandon, our cousin, and we were in Myrtle Beach, and we walked out in the ocean one day, and we're standing about waist deep in the water, and we're standing there just kind of enjoying the water, felt good, a little cold, and all of a sudden, the water dropped from my waist to my ankles, and I said, uh-oh. And a wave hit me and smacked me onto the bottom of that ocean. And that undercurrent and that draft just began to drag me. And I mean, I was stuck to the bottom of that ocean and it was just dragging me. And I was doing everything I could to create some distance between me and that ground. And finally, I popped up. My cousin was standing there. His eyes were this big because he had someone drown in that same ocean, a friend of his, just a few years before. And he said, "Let's get out of here." And I said, "Yeah, let's get out of here." But you know what? When you're here, if this is all you are with God every once in a while, the enemy can come, there can be that attack because you're still vulnerable, and the bottom can drop out. This isn't enough. If that's the case, this isn't enough. We need to get deeper. We need to have a full immersion with the power of God. It's not enough to come and get prayed for and fall out in the Spirit, or come in when we have a great prophet and get a word and be enough to carry you through. It's not enough. We gotta say we want more of God. We want to go from glory to glory. More and more of you, Lord. If you're not willing to go here, if you're not willing to do what it takes to get there, you're susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You're more susceptible. We're always susceptible. But you're more when you're here. You're more when you're there, and you're more when you're there. This is a spot that at least you're not going to just easily fall into sin. You're going to have to do it on purpose. You're going to have to think about it. Because you've been immersed in the power of the Lord. You've been immersed in His presence. This should be our desire to get here and go to the next level. And go to the next level. The highest level of immersion. It's full immersion. He says, He led me another 1,750 feet, and He took me to a spot that I could not walk through. That I could not walk through. I had to swim. I had to swim. This is the spot where the supernatural things began to happen. I mean, this is the spot Peter was at when he began to walk and his shadow began to heal people. Right? This is the spot when you look at those that are dead and say, come back to life. We're down. Some people are down there and want to do that. Some people are at that level and say, well, I'm going to walk and I'm going to begin to pray for the dead to raise and they're going to rise. Do you know what? We all have access to the same power. Yes, we do. But it's access that you have to pass through certain levels to get. You all have ability to have that same power living inside of you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But we don't operate in it because we don't stay in full immersion. We don't stay here walking with the presence of God. This is where the prophets of great, the preachers of great were. I've been around those guys. I'm not claiming to be here. I'm just telling you. I've still got work to do. I'm not claiming to be here. I hope I'm somewhere between there and here. I hope I hope my spiritual walk is maybe where my toes may touch the bottom and I'm bobbing. You know, it's one of those spots. I got a tippy toe to get my head above water. I don't want to because I want to be able to duck right there. I want to be in full immersion. Full immersion of the presence of God. I want to walk in His Spirit every day. I want to see what God has for my life every day. I want to speak to every person that God tells me to speak to. I want to see lives changed just because the power of God is flowing through me. But I got to experience it. We got to experience. This is a full immersion level. This is when you go beyond your own abilities. When men of God get here, they're not relying on their speech. They're not relying on their talent. They're not relying on what they know. I hear some people get up and they preach the entire Bible to you. Why? Because that's what they know. That's what they've memorized. That's what they've ingrained in themselves. Man, I'm fine if you give me one scripture that's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is not my ability. I hope that I don't operate when I preach each Sunday out of my ability. I hope that I operate out of the ability that is beyond mine. That is the Holy Spirit flowing through me. But if I'm not a full immersion level, then you're getting some of me. If you get up here to give a word, a prophecy, and you're not at this level, you're giving some of you. You're relying on your abilities. You're relying on your talents. And not on the gift that God has given you. We have to get to a spot that we want the miraculous. We say that. We say often that we want the miraculous. But we want to operate in the ordinary. We want the miraculous and we want to walk in the ordinary. We're okay with the ordinary. But we say we want the miraculous. You know why? Because we're just like Simon, who says, I want that. Wow, you laid hands on people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want that, but can I just buy it? Because it takes a little too much work to get here. I can't put in the time that you put in. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But we have to be willing to put in the time if we want to see God do the miraculous. How many want to see God do the miraculous? Man, I want to see him. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see blind eyes open and deaf ears open. I want to see the dead raised. But we got to get here. We got to get to this level of immersion in the Holy Spirit. It's not enough. It's not enough to be where we are. It's not enough to be at these levels and say we want something supernatural from the Lord. And now I want to show you what happens. Starting in verse 6, it says, he asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Have you been watching? It was hot up there, Nicole. I'm sweating already. I know you're cold, but it was hot up there. Have you been watching, son of man? And then he led me back along the riverbank. And when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. And he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream, say this stream, will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river, say this river, flows. Hallelujah. You don't have to keep repeating me. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shore of the Dead Sea, all the way from En-Gedi to En, whatever that is. The shores will be covered with nets dying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. Now, I wanted to tell you what I believe, and it goes on and goes on and tells you all this, but I just want to pause. And I want to tell you what happened here. He took him to the level of full immersion. He took him to a level that he was relying on nothing but the power of the Holy Ghost. He took him to a level where he said, if you give everything you desire, every one of your heart's desire to the Lord, and you immerse yourself in the presence of God, all of a sudden you'll be able to look back and you're going to go, Where did all those blessings come from? Where did those trees come from? That salty life that I had, that sinful desire that I had, it's gone. It's gone. Because see, you sit there and try to fix yourself. But when you just draw closer to me, to God, draw near to me and he'll draw near to you. When you draw closer to God, you look back and you're blessed and you're like, you don't even know where it came from. The blessings of God will follow those that are fully submersed, that are fully immersed in the presence of God. This is a promise of blessing for believers that are willing to go from here to here. But here's our problem. We want to go from here to here on our own. Hello? We want to say, well, you know what? I started here in this job, and then I got better, and they promoted me, and then I did more, and they gave me here, and I'm looking to get this kind of wealth. I got to do it on my own. So someone looks and says, way to go. It was because of your intelligence. It was because of your abilities. And we want to get here in the world's eyes. But if we decide to just say, all I look for is the spiritual increase. All I look for is more and more. All I look for is glory to glory. And that's all I care about. That's all I desire. That's all I want. All of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, now look back. And you go, wow, I didn't even know I was so blessed. How did I pay my house off? How did I buy cars with cash? How am I debt free? Hello, somebody better want this promise today. See, we focus our efforts on trying to get these things instead of trying to get closer to God. But when you get closer to God, you get the things. That's what it means when it says, He'll give you the desires of your heart. He should say, I'll give you the desires of your heart, but stop chasing them, stupid. Because that's all we do. We chase what we want while we're over here with our toes in the water. But He said, get immersed. Get immersed. Chase me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room to contain it. Chase me. What level do you want to be at? Where do you want to go today? Are you here? Are you here? I ain't going to lie. I'm somewhere in the middle, but I need to go further. I need to go deeper. Because when I get full immersed, I'm still only this far off the shore from what God still has for me. And I know that. I know there's more. Even at full immersion, I know there's more. I know there's more. I want more. I want for this church to have more. I want for them to be able to pull in people with wheelchairs and people get up out of them and we just store them over here. I want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want to be a Simon. I'm not trying to buy that. I'm not trying to pay some miracle working evangelist or prophet to come in here and get us that result. Do you understand? I believe that the power of God can flow through this place because you desire to see it. You desire to see it. I desire to see it. I know Apostle and Miss Becky, they desire to see it. But do you desire to see it? Do you desire to see people whose lives have been torn down and destroyed because of drugs and alcohol walk in and get delivered? It can happen. But we have to be willing to pay that price to go deeper in the things of the Lord. Can't just be one or two of us. We have to do it together. I'm trying to take you deeper. I'm trying to say, come along with me. I'm trying. I don't want to leave anyone that's over here. Turn to Jude. I'm going to go to Jude. Verse 17. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. Scoffers are the watchers. They're sitting over here watching, but they're scoffing at you. Why do you go to church all the time? Anybody ever said that to you? Well, what's wrong with you? Why do you think you got to go to church all the time? It's a scoffer. They're over there watchers. They watch. They know. They're watching you. They know. They know what you're doing. They're waiting for you to mess up. The Lord predicted there would be scoffers with the purpose whose life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating division among you. They create division in the church. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't just say pray. Hello, we're at a new level. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Those are those right here. I'm showing you mercy today. There's mercy for you today. You may have been here, but don't feel convicted about it. You may be here, but I'm telling you, you don't have to stay here. Today, as that conviction in you arise, you say, I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go more because there's mercy for you today. There's mercy. It's to show mercy to those whose faith has been wavering and rescue others by snatching him from the flames of judgment and show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives. Hating the sin. I'm telling you, if you're here, I know there's still sins contaminating your lives. I know there's things you still struggle with. And you know what? There's mercy for you today. There's grace for you today. But God is saying, come deeper. He's saying, don't stay there. Don't stay there. It says, snatch them from the flames. That means those that are here, that are watchers, those that are ankle deep, those that are knee deep. There's still a possibility of the flames of hell taking you. Why? Because there are people, we've seen in scriptures that says that they said they served the Lord and the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? They just were ankle deep testing the water. They were just watchers. They were just, I got a little bit of experience. I went to church and I gave my heart to the Lord once. But you got to live for him. That's what we're doing today. That's what today is about. Today is about not letting you stay satisfied here. Snatching you away. Letting you know that there's mercy that God has for you today. If you're willing to go to the next level. If you're willing to say more. Are you willing to say more? I don't know what stage you are, but I'm telling you it has nothing to do with how long you've served Christ. That is not a level of how long you've served Christ. You could give your heart to the Lord today and be deeper next Sunday than someone that gave their heart to the Lord 20 years ago. Because if you have a desire and a commitment to read and study the Word and pray and spend time in the presence of God, you're doing better than most. And that's a sad state that we live in as a church. And I'm talking the church nationwide. I'm not picking on you today. I love you. Tell your neighbor, our pastor loves us. Yeah, there you go. Make me feel good. You know what? I want you to come one day, and I want you to look back and go, where did all those blessings come from? I've seen that out of so many already. I've seen it out of David. I've seen it out of Patricia. I've seen so many. I've seen it out of Brandon and Brittany that all of a sudden they just come on and then they look back one day and go, oh, wow, I didn't even realize all this. Why? Because you got closer and closer to the Lord. You quit worrying about trying to get these things for yourself and they just came. Hallelujah. Are you ready for more? Are you ready to go to the next level? Y'all said y'all ready for more? You want me to go to the next sermon? No. Don't stay there. Whatever level you're at today, don't stay there. I don't care. This is for every single person. I don't care where you think yourself that you are. We need to go deeper with the things of the Lord. We need to go deeper. Wherever you've been, it's not enough. I know, like I said, I know I've been through these stages in my life, and there's been times I know you can get to this stage and you can go back, and you can go back. You can. But it's important you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I love it when I see people grow. That is my favorite thing. I've seen people like the Vincents here just grow in their faith since they came here. Gordon and Bethany and things since they just came here. Things in their life, just I've just seen amazing things in them. Why? Because they've grown. They've grown. Why? Because they realized where they were, whatever that church may have been or whatever they served, wasn't enough and there was more. But you know, even here, sometimes we go to wonderful services and we say, man, there's more. I want more. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. 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 Look, this is an invitation that I'm going to ask you to come forward today, because I'm telling you, every person needs to take a step today. So I don't need to ask you to come forward. I need you to make a decision in your walk with the Christ, with your walk with the Lord, to go further. Whatever you're at, whatever level you're at, say, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I don't care where you're at. Because I know even for myself, there are times that I go, man, I'm not satisfied. I want more. When I read the Word of God, I want to understand it more. Anybody ever been there? I want to understand it more. I want it to be life to me. So wherever you're at today, this is a personal thing between you and God to say, I want more. I'm not satisfied. I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray for those watching online. But I'm going to ask you to search your heart. I'm going to ask you to make a determination to say, God, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I want more. I want more of your glory. I want more, Father God, for what you have for my life. I'm going to stop chasing the things of this world, and I'm going to start chasing you. You have to do that. I can't do that for you. God, there's some of you I would love to take by the hand and do that for you. I really would. I really would. But all I can do is encourage you to do it for yourself. Amen? So I'm going to pray that faith rises in you today. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven if you'd like? Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for your word. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us, Father God, to go deeper with you. Lord, pour out your spirit on us. Pour out your spirit on this church, Lord. Lord, we want more of your glory. We want more of your power. We want more of your spirit flowing through this place, Father God. Father God, we don't want to take any shortcuts. We want to see the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead rise, Father God. But we want to see people's lives turned around to come to know you, Jesus. We want to see addicts set free, Father God. We want your presence to flow through this place more. God, and I ask for each and every person that is here today that you will speak to them, Father God, and show them, increase their faith today to believe for more of you. Father God, less of themselves and more of you. Father God, challenge them to go deeper with you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, speak to them on Monday. Wake them up on Monday with the things of God on their heart. Wake them up on Tuesday, Father God, as they go throughout the day, Father God. Show them the things of God. Show them, Father God, your signs and your wonders, Lord Jesus. Bring them back to church on Wednesday, Father God, because they're hungry for more of you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we just want more of you, that we desire more of you. And Father God, as we begin to search for you, as we begin to seek you, Lord Jesus, I thank you. God, I thank you. You are so faithful that your blessings will follow. Oh, that you're blessing your people. I believe this is a year of supernatural blessing for those that will seek God. I'm telling you, you got to seek God. You want to look back and say, where did all this come from? It came from seeking God. It came from seeking the Lord. Oh, he's going to give you new opportunities this year. Seek him. Don't seek the opportunity. Seek him. The blessings will follow. I thank you, God, that today you've inspired us, Lord Jesus. Your word has challenged us to want more of you. To want more of you. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, would you say amen? Come on, would you say a better amen? Say, this river is flowing and blessings are following.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org, or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.